Welcome to Finding the Faith with me, your host, Frida Donnelly, where we explore what matters. Whether it's traversing someone's faith journey, diving deeper into doctrine, or simply enjoying Christian fellowship, I aim to focus on the good and the beautiful to provide you with some respite from the world. If you'd like to join us live, check out Finding the Faith on Rumble every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. All the links are in the show notes down below. Please remember to rate and subscribe, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Finding the Faith. It is Tuesday at 7:03, so you know where we are and where you should be to explore what matters. I am so excited to have my dear friend Anna with us this week. How are you doing, Anna?
I am good. I am finishing up some classes, so we're a little stressy, but we're doing good. So
you got this. You're a smart girl. Yeah, I wish I was finishing up classes. I just took finals for my accounting class. I actually managed to pass it, so that was really cool. I actually got 100 in the course, and I was like, wait, hold on, what? Like, you guys know I can't do math, right? But I had a lot of help from you guys in chat in this community, whether it be mathematical, algorithmical help, or just mental health help, because your girl was not doing good mentally with the math class. But we are better now, so. One of the biggest questions on Twitter that I kept getting asked is where have you been? Would you like to start off with that one?
I figured that one was coming. Someone had asked it when you posted on Twitter. I was like, I know it's going to be a question we're going to get asked. So I'm alive, obviously. Everything is good. I just needed to take a little step back. I'm still on other social media, but just Twitter in general was just not a great space for me mentally at the time, and it's obviously just kind of sometimes a little cesspool-y. Yes. So I was like, I'm just gonna take a step back and, you know, focus on classes, and I do volunteer work now. I, you know, have two jobs, so I'm very busy, so it kind of helps that I'm not like scrolling on Twitter all the time too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you want to tell us, like, I don't know if you're in a position to tell us what kind of volunteer work you do, but.
Oh, yeah. So I've got two different volunteer gigs that I kind of do every so often. So the first one is, it's called hippotherapy, which is horse therapy. So I am what is called a sidewalker. So I stand next to the client and the horse, basically making sure that the client doesn't fall off. A lot of them have like cognitive delays, or they've got like physical I don't know what the word is, but like where they don't have as good a posture, or they're not as strong. So they're using it a lot for like PT and OT. So that's one thing I do. And then another thing I do that I love doing as well is I go to a local horse farm and I actually feed horses at night. So typically I'll do that on the weekends and I love it. They're so much fun. So they all have their own little personality, and but it's just a great time to just like feed horses. And I read something somewhere that said people chewing will make me commit things that Netflix wouldn't make a documentary about. But when horses chew, it's like a relaxation. It's just something different.
Yeah, I very much have that like misophonia, or I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel that. But so you're like fully living your, you know, touch grass horse girl era.
Oh, 100%. I even got boots and everything, because I was like, nice. I am going full out on this, which actually it's been nice because it has been super rainy recently. So it's been nice to have like a good solid pair of boots as I'm, you know, scooping poop and petting horses in the rain.
So. Yeah, I can definitely see how that could be disastrous if you didn't have those. Mm-hmm. And I bet they're really cute too, so that doesn't hurt.
They're adorable. I like them.
So what were your first memories of religion, getting into things?
I would say, oh gosh, what would be my first memory of religion? I went to like a preschool inside of the church that we went to. So I remember, like, I grew up I grew up pretty much in the faith, but that was kind of my first memory, was like going to church and then going to school in church. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was, I don't remember like Sunday school real well when I was really little, but I remember going to church. Like, that was something we did every week. We went as a family. We, you know, dressed up in our dresses and our nice clothes. As we got older, that changed a little bit. But that's kind of like my first memory. So that would have been when I was, well, 2 and a half, because I was adopted at 2 and a half. And we didn't go to church before that, as far as I'm aware. But after that, we all did. So
that's cool that you have memories way back then.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, when it comes to, I know, you know, in the intake form, you said that you're an open book, but how has been, you know, being adopted, has that affected your faith journey in any way?
That's a really good question. I feel like being adopted, like, as we are, you know, adopted into Christ, I think that I kind of have a different understanding of what adoption is, mm-hmm. and how you can, you know, have it being like your worldly family, but also in like with your heavenly father, like that adoption. I think mm-hmm. like I have a different like viewpoint on it versus someone who, you know, was born into their family, and, you know, never got to experience adoption as a child.
Yeah.
I think that there's something, like, there's something special about that. And not saying mm-hmm. that, you know, parents don't love their children when they have them, like, you know, biologically. But, like, there's something about somebody deciding yes and choosing you mm-hmm. Out of, you know, all of these other children that they might have tried to adopt. Yeah. So I guess kind of that aspect. But I think, for more of like a mental aspect as well too, I think that I sometimes mistake earthly father's mm-hmm. characteristics for like the characteristics of my heavenly father as well too. And so there was a lot of abandonment when I was really, really young. Mm-hmm. And so some of that kind of has like kind of teetered into that a little bit, which makes it a little bit harder, because obviously, like, you know, our heavenly father will never abandon us nor forsake us, but you still have that kind of in the back of your mind, like, you know, they chose to make these decisions, like my, you know, earthly parents, like birth parents, and it's hard to not see that my heavenly father wouldn't do the same thing. So there's some positives and some negatives to adoption, but when it comes to like my faith walk. So
I think that that's something that I could be wrong, but I feel like we've had some conversation around this before, because growing up as an orphan in, you know, my circumstances, which, being my friend, you know, a bit more than the average viewer about, but I definitely kind of relate to how having not like daddy issues, but like, that's what people like to call them, even though it's mm-hmm. really a reflection on the fathers. I'll stop there, let y'all think on that before you brand me a feminist. But how that kind of can have a reflection into the spiritual realm of things, and how we can, you know, kind of, because we have these unhealed wounds when it comes to our physical and more tangible relationships, they can very easily translate. I'm already canceled in chat.
Anyway, saw that.
Oh, wow. they can very much translate into having difficulties in the spiritual as well.
Yeah. And I was actually reading a devotional that kind of brought that to light. It was talking about kind of like the relationships between like our earthly fathers and our heavenly father. And I really hadn't thought about it mm-hmm. until I was reading through that devotional. And I was like, whoa, I didn't realize how much I was like kind of, you know, melding those two realities. And so it was very eye-opening.
Yeah. Now, how have you experienced God's guidance and presence in your journey so far?
Oh, that is real big. That is a really big question. So I'll kind of start at the beginning. So I guess kind of, you know, when you're younger, you go to church mm-hmm. because your parents take you to church mm-hmm. and you kind of are, you know, living through their faith. You may, you know, not want to go to church that Sunday. You may not want to go to, you know, youth group on Wednesday, whatever, but your parents make you go. And then I think at some point, I feel like all of us at some point have gone through, especially those that kind of grew up in the church, yeah. where they have decided that this is my own faith. This is my own like relationship with Jesus. And kind of going from your parents' faith into your own, which is like, not an easy transition. Yeah. And people think that it's just like this really quick transition. I think that it has taken me probably almost 15 years just trying to kind of piece that all together and like making my relationship with Christ my own relationship and not because my parents brought me up that way.
Yeah. What did that first look like for you?
What was that?
What did that first look like for you?
I think it was kind of that first like brain switch of like, I want to go to church and I want to, you know, have that relationship with Christ versus I'm going to go because my friends are there, because mom's mm-hmm. dragging me. So it's kind of that little brain flip of like, I actually kind of want to, you know more about Jesus and kind of create that relationship with him, which is obviously an ever growing, ever changing, ever evolving yeah. relationship, which I think it should be. I don't think it should be like, okay, you're one and done. You have a relationship and it's stagnant for the rest of your life. I think it should be evolving.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no relationship that shouldn't be stagnant is really particularly a healthy one.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. If any relationship is stagnant, you've got some work to do there, no matter who it is. Exactly. Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, your relationship with Christ, family, friends. So, but then I was making my faith my own, and then I got into college. And I feel like when people get into college, not a lot of people, but, you know, a good handful of people, they're like, ooh, I don't live with mom and dad anymore. I can kind of do my own thing. And so I kind of like went off the wagon. I was, you know, underage drinking. I was getting drunk every weekend. I was, I at one point was engaged. I'm going to use that term very, very loosely to a woman, which is, I've talked very, very little about that part of my life because it's definitely not something I'm proud about. But I think it also is a huge part of my testimony because I realized that even though I was like, God, I don't want to, you know, give over this relationship because this is what I want. That God was still pursuing me in that. I remember specifically I was sitting in my dorm room couch and I was doing a Bible study with my mom and I was deep in this relationship with this woman. And I felt this almost like burning hot sensation in my chest. And I knew that it was the Holy Spirit. Like, hey, you really need to cut that out. And I kind of said, nope, I'm not going to. And I kind of just dropped it at that. And I was like, I want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Never doing that again. That was the worst like 2 years of my life. I never felt more far away from God in that moment. But I knew even though that I was like turning away from him, he was still at that point. He was still pursuing me. He was like, you need to come back. You need to quit this relationship. So definitely saw his hand in that. And I think that I needed to go through that. So I knew that literally no matter what I did, no matter if I was really going off the rail, that he would still pursue me.
Yeah.
So
that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, we all go through and make unwise choices at times, but at the end of the day, you know, just like with a loving parent, he keeps, you know, pursuing us and we can at any time choose to turn around and say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Best decision to turn around and say yes.
Yes, absolutely. Like, chums won't make that burning sensation in your chest go away when it's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Hate to break to you. Thankfully, Tums and Pepto-Bismol are not sponsors of the show.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Imagine. But as it turns out, one sponsor of our show actually is Nimi Skincare. You're on faith, family, and freedom. It's paraben-free, and it's never tested on animals.
All of these things matter so much to me, as does the fact that they source their ingredients from small American farms. Nimi Skincare loves America just as much as I do. And I know you'll love them too. That's why you should go to NimiSkincare.com and use code BASEDBABE to save 10% off today.
Now, I mean, honestly, girl, like, between us, I genuinely do love them. I'm on my, like, second jar of peptide cream. It's so creamy.
I love that. I've seen them around, and I was like, because I'm very, like, particular about ingredients mm-hmm. that are in things, and so I've seen a couple of endorsements for them from a different, like, a handful of people, and I was like, I think I might need to try them out. So I think your girl might. Obviously, we're gonna use the code, get that 10% off because your girl likes to save money.
And if you bundle too, they also have like perfect bundles based upon like what your skincare needs are, which is really cool.
Very nice. So I'll definitely have to check that out. So definitely throwing that in there.
So, and I think that just speaks to being good stewards of all that we have, and that's really, really important. Now, when it comes to being a good steward of the choices that we make, how were you able to, you know, kind of work with God and partner with him to get out of that space that you were in?
I realized that I had to, it wasn't like a overnight conscious decision. It is a conscious decision, but it wasn't like a quick overnight, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it by my strength only, because like we're all human. We all have these, you know, tendencies, whatever they are. And it truly is only by like the grace of God and his strength in me that I can actually like overcome this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Not that it's something that I'm like, you know, nose to the grindstone struggling with every day anymore. Like, honestly, thank God that that's not the case, because that would make living, way more difficult trying to like battle that. But
it's kind of like a muscle where you keep getting stronger the more you use it. And then when you lift, you know, the things that used to be heavy don't feel as heavy anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. And not just partially turning away from stuff. Like I unloaded like certain apps on my phone. I, you know, blocked certain people on social media. I stopped following certain accounts. I, you know, really, I felt like got myself into a spot where I was, you know, spending time with Christ and kind of figuring out my identity through him. And I think a lot of that actually stems off that I didn't know what my identity was at that point. And I was really trying to work through that, which I feel like a lot of us work through that in like our early adulthood, trying to figure out who are we and, you know, what are we going to be, not permanently, but, you know, a good, like, solid base.
Absolutely.
And so I think finding my true identity and who Christ says I am versus what the world says I am, what I say that I am, that I think was key as well, as, you know, finding my true identity and realizing that it was not dating women.
Yes, absolutely. Now, how do you feel like from that foundation that you have grown spiritually over the years? Because I know that when I think about you, when I thought about writing the description for this stream, I think about, you know, how on fire for Jesus you are and how beautiful it is to see, like, how radiant you are with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, obviously, I promise I'm not getting out of that. You're good. You are good. I don't think your husband would really like that. But anywho, oh my gosh, now I have forgotten the question. What was the question again?
In what ways do you feel you've grown spiritually over the years?
Oh, wow. I think just having like a deeper understanding of scripture, and, you know, spending more time with God. That's honestly key, is spending more time with God, because then you learn more, you know, learn more about him and his character, but then you also in turn learn about you as well, which I think is kind of a cool it's like a give and take almost, but like you learn about him and you get to learn more about yourself. But I think just a deeper understanding of scripture, and that is definitely still a work in progress every day. And I think, you know, changing, you know, switching denominations, which is, we're going to kind of slide into that one.
Yeah.
Changing denominations actually was one of the things that I think has actually deepened my faith the most, which sometimes that might sound a little crazy, but I had learned about Adventism through a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And
is it someone who's been on the show before?
That I can't say, because I am going to tell you how we met and why this conversation came about.
Fair enough.
So if he watches this, sorry, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. But it's my story too, so you don't get to hide it. So actually, I met this gentleman on a dating app, and I really liked him a lot, and we were having a conversation about like, hey, if things get serious, because I was still non-denominational at that point. Mm-hmm. He was Adventist, and what I want you to do is like, we need to make sure that we're on the same page. Like if we do things do get serious, if we, you know, if children are in our future, whatever that might look like, yeah. We need to be on the same page, because there are some differences between Adventism and non-denominational. A lot of the key, like primary doctrine, are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple of things that obviously were different. And so he was like, I want you to like research this. I want you to like, you know, figure out if this is what you also believe in. And then we'll kind of go from there.
Well, I mean, if you guys, you know, went in that direction, you couldn't be running around all Saturday while he's on the couch and, you know, going to church and doing the whole thing. And then you're doing the same thing on Sunday.
Right. Right. And it would just be so hard, because like then if our children grew up and like, you know, dad goes to church on Saturdays, mom goes to church on Sundays, like, and, you know, dad is so, you know, very deep in his faith and has a very deep understanding of what he mm-hmm. believes. And, you know, is able to point to scripture on that. But then mom also, you know, has scripture to point on her stuff too. Like it would just get so confusing for kids growing up in that. And so I was like, I'm going to, you know, research it and kind of, you know, figure out if it is what I believe or if it's totally off the wall, wacky, like I've heard people say about Adventism. But there was also something in me that was kind of searching for answers that I actually didn't actually tell him about at all. I was looking for like, you know, answers about, one of the big things was hell. Like I just didn't understand the whole aspect of hell and how mm-hmm. a loving God could eternally torture somebody forever. And I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. And so I was just getting research. I was like researching, you know, Adventism, and I was getting a lot of these questions answered. And I was like, hey, like I have a local church in town. I'm just going to go and kind of see what this is all about.
Yeah.
And so I've been going and I love it. And like, it has just deepened my faith so much since kind of, I don't want to say converting, because I feel like converting is like going from like being a Muslim to like a Christian. We're still Christian. It's just different denominations. Mm-hmm. So kind of just changing denominations. And I feel like I have like a more steady hand on what I believe. And mm-hmm. we go through what's called our quarterly. We go through that together as a church. And so it kind of helps that we all are actually studying the same thing at the same time. So it's almost like the first part of our service is Sabbath school. And mm-hmm. so we'll go through the quarterly, and it's almost like just like a big Bible study to some degree. Like we have like our leaders up front that we'll be going through it, but mm-hmm. it's just been nice to have all of these people going through the same thing and like studying the same stuff. And I don't know, it's just, it's been great. And I've very much loved the fact that I changed. And But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think the way that, you know, came about too is such a cool way that, you know, God really uses and works all things to his glory, like all of the things, mm-hmm. whether they're, you know, mishaps, whether they're dating apps, whether they're all of the things to his glory. And what a cool and wonderful and merciful God we have.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, and it was really hard, like, it was hard knowing that, like, me and this gentleman were on, like, different mm-hmm. pages about dating, but, like, I wouldn't trade that for the entire world, because the fact that we had even gone down that route, even though it wasn't what was meant to happen, mm-hmm. it has brought so much of a blessing into my life. And if he's watching this episode, I want you to know that having you as a friend has been a huge blessing, because it has brought me so much closer to Christ in ways that, like, I don't think I could have done by myself without someone else stepping in and being like, hey, you should research this. So there's that little spiel.
That is so wonderful. Having friends who are firmly grounded in the faith and who love God and know to point us, you know, always back to scripture is such, I mean, this show, it's going to turn a year old on the 11th. Like, it would not be here if it wasn't for the community of all of you guys, you know, you, all of my incredible subscribers in chat, all of my followers, like, all of my audience and my friends, like, thank you guys so much for all that you've done for my husband and I to get to where we are spiritually. Like, at the end of the day, obviously we know that it's God who's using all of us to work in harmony, you know, and keep, you know, doing all of that. But at the same time too, like, we each have a part to play in it, and it's really beautiful.
Yes. And it's awesome in the ways that he utilizes people, and it may not be in the ways that you think he's going to utilize people, because obviously I had a very different path that I thought I was going to go down.
Yeah.
But God was like, I'm going to give you this person just for a short time, enough for you to be like, okay, checking this other denomination out, and then things are going to change, but you're still going to hold on to that. And so that was obviously, like, a huge blessing to me. So.
Yeah. So what is Sabbath school like, and what do you do in, like, your own personal faith journey to, like, nurture and maintain your passion for Christ on a daily basis?
Ooh. So start with the first part of the question. Sabbath school. So basically Sabbath school is I don't know if all of the Seventh-day Adventist churches do this in the same way, but our mm-hmm. church, they'll have usually two or three of the, like, one of, like, leaders in the past, like, leaders in the church, they'll mm-hmm. kind of sit up in the front, and then they'll be going through, like, all the questions through the quarterly, and they'll kind of discuss, you know, the scripture behind it, and kind of go through, like, a overview of what we worked on that week. Mm-hmm. It's nice to, so we have that, and then we'll have, like, our normal service, which is, like, the sermon of whoever is speaking that week. And then we'll have, like, music and tithing and all of that as well. But it's different. It's something different that I've never experienced in, like, a non-denominational church, because typically, mm-hmm. you know, you go to church on Sundays, you listen to music, listen to a sermon, listen to announcements, and then you go home. But this is, like, you get there, you know, sit with your quarterly, and you kind of go through, like, what they were talking about in the quarterly. You go through the scripture, and then that's usually about an hour, and then you go into, like, the main service. And so it's just nice. It's usually a smaller group that's in there during Sabbath school, and that's kind of just a way to, you know, dive deeper into God's word in a little bit more of an intimate way, rather than mm-hmm. the whole congregation and, you know, a pastor up front. And you can ask questions. You can, you know, raise your hand during Sabbath school, which is kind of probably odd to a lot of people that go to, like, a traditional, like, Sunday church that, mm-hmm. you know, it's the pastor, it's up there, the pastor talks, and then you can sometimes do call and response, but not really. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely more intimate, and I like that about it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, like, you can, like, raise your hands to ask questions instead of, like, raising your hand to, like, answer questions, right?
Correct. Yep. You can.
Or is
you
it,
can,
like, both of it?
I think, you know, I think you can do both. Like, they can ask questions. You can make comments. You can, you know, answer questions. So, it's kind of a, I don't want to say an open forum because it's not quite an open forum, but it's definitely.
It's more of, like, a Bible study versus, like, a.
Like a pastor standing up front.
Yeah.
And they talk
like a sermon kind of. Yes. Okay, cool.
Correct.
Cool.
More of also, like a congregational Bible study.
Speaking of kind of congregational Bible studies, we're not, you know, this is not the Church of Frida or anything, but we do have a pretty cool Bible study on Friday nights. If you guys in chat or you, Anna, I know you're a very busy lady and I'm glad to be able to get you here, but it's, you know, all denominations. The main, you know, thing is that you love Jesus and we come and we learn and we hang out together. And we're currently reading, we're actually about to start Matthew. But it's really cool. It's in the Discord. It's been like super, super awesome. Jess is there, a bunch of our subscribers are there. It's really a blast.
That's really cool. I think, I don't know if it was you that sent me it or it might have been you that had texted me the link for or like kind of information about it. So my most weeks I work Friday evenings because I'm in school Tuesdays, Thursdays. So
makes sense.
Hopefully once the semester is done, I'll be able to join a little bit.
Yes, little Friday night celebration.
Yes. Exactly. So
no, Matthew in chat. We're reading the book of Matthew. It was not named after you. If it was, you are quite old. And I know you're pretty old, but I don't think you're that old. Respectfully.
Oh, goodness.
We have a bunch of silly geese in our chat. Yes, it's funny because I was telling my husband that we should sign the rent check. Because, okay, so this is super random. But I feel like you'll appreciate it. You know the whole, like, silly goose and, like, God's silliest goose, like, dialogue that has been, like, over Twitter and, like, we've had and it was a whole thing?
Yeah.
I was, like, so sad the other night because I was, like, but you can't, like, say, like, there's nothing that, you know, rhymes with geese. It's, like, you can't say silly geese on the lease. And then I was, like, that's how we need to start signing our rent checks. He's like, no, you're not doing that. I'm like, please. He's like, maybe.
Do it. Do it. I love that though. I actually have a shirt that says God's Silliest Goose on it. I love it. So I am fully in my Silliest Goose era.
That's amazing. I actually just made a bookmark for a friend that has a goose on it and it says God's Silliest underneath it.
Oh, I love that. That's cute. That's a cute one.
I make all sorts of like cute little like Bible bookmarks and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
I love that.
Oh, now would probably be a good time to tell you guys about the giveaway that we are doing. So there is a really cool 6x6 printable poster that I made because we are doing a survey going around for feedback about the show, about different things going forward, which there will be a special announcement on, so make sure you're staying tuned. But if you guys go to the Discord, fill out the survey, you can also enter to win the printable poster. And it's a cool, fun little thing that we're doing.
Very cool. And I have the inside tea on the big secret at the end, and you guys are going to want to stick around for it. I'm going to promise you that.
I have to tell my guests, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, is there anything specific that you want to talk about in relation to you being a Seventh-day Adventist or being, or about, you know, your past as a non-denominational Christian before we move on?
I don't know why this is the first thing that came to mind. But because, you know, I'm, you know, mid-20s and single. So I went from, you know, a lot of people I feel like are non-denominational. Mm-hmm. And like you can find a husband in a non-denominational church. Yeah. And then you go to, you know, the church that I was going to had like, you know, close to probably 200 a weekend to a very small church, very small denomination in comparison.
Yeah.
To and now my dating pool has shrunk. So it makes it a little bit harder. But we'll make do, and it'll be fine. It'll all work out in God's timing, and he has a plan. So I'm not worried.
Sometimes it can be a little hard to, trust in that, and that the next milestone will come up in our walk with him and our seasonal life and everything. But we just look back at all of the things that he's done for us, and we really see that he's never failed us, and he never will.
Oh yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Sorry, I definitely just bumped my mic. That was totally on me.
It's all good. Can you hear us now?
Now I've deafened everybody.
Jax, if you could you just chop off that little session pretty please for the audio listeners? Anyways, when you first started, going down the path of being a Seventh-day Adventist, was there any specific aspects or beliefs or doctrines that resonated with you the most when you first encountered them?
I think that, I was talking a little bit about earlier, was just the whole aspect of hell, and that it is not a, eternal, burning. Mm-hmm. It is, forever separation from God, but it's not this, forever burning in fire and flames forever. You are eventually annihilated, and there is that complete, done, can't go back separation from God. And so while it's still hard to hear that people will, inevitably go through that, unfortunately, I don't want to say it makes me feel better because that sounds really bad, but I'm glad that there is an end to the physical suffering, and it isn't, it's now just, that separation from God, which honestly, I would rather physically suffer this lifetime than ever be separated from God forever. That's just my little excursion with women was about as close to not being with God as I have ever been in that. And that wasn't even permanent. That was I could make the decision to turn back around and follow God. Can't imagine what forever that feels like. And it's even worse. There is not only are you separated from God, there is no presence of God. I still had the presence of God, even though I was not following him in that moment in my life. I still had the presence of God, and I still had the ability to find that presence if I so desired, and where to seek it out.
Yeah.
And I can accept that, but so it made me feel maybe just a little bit better that's not what, because I was how can a just God, a just, kind, loving God burn people forever or allow that? And so that was one of the big things that I was really I just don't understand this, and I need sometimes I'm a little slow, and I need God to be here you go, here is your answer, and you don't try to hurt yourself looking for it, it's right here. So and that's what I love about God, is he knows how I work, and so sometimes he has to make things triply clear that okay, here you go. That's your answer. So,
but I mean, he knew you. He's the reason why you were knitted together in your mother's womb. Yes. And he knew you even back then. Yes. He knew you when you were just, a twinkle in the eye of the scripture that I'm currently blanking on. Anyway. Oh my God.
You're alluding to, but I can't think of it right now either.
Guys, I'm so sorry. Maybe full transparency will help here. I showed up for my infusion yesterday for them to tell me, oh, why are you here? You didn't get the call? And I was like, no, I didn't get the call. And they were like, insert name of person, was supposed to call you. He said he called you. And I'm like, well, he didn't call me. What? Like, what's happening? And they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can't get your infusion today. So, like, do you want to do, like, Friday? And I'm like, I can't do Friday. And they're like, okay, so maybe next Monday then. Maybe next Monday you can get your important medication that you need for your body. And I was like, ah, oh, thanks. I'm going to go drive, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes back home now that you made me wake up really early without coffee.
Aww. Well, hopefully next Monday goes without a hitch and that you can get what you need. Oh, goodness.
So that's where I'm at. But, understandable. Yeah. Anywho. I'm sure that, so your parents grew up, like, when you were growing up in your parents' home, they were non-denominational, right?
Yes.
Okay. So were there any, like, doubts or hesitations, you know, any kind of, with them, like friction, like with them when you were becoming a Seventh-day Adventist? Oh. How did that whole thing work?
When I told them that I was talking to this particular gentleman and that he was a Seventh-day Adventist, they were like, have you joined the cult yet? And I was like, No, first off, I've not joined any cult. It is not a cult. We are not cult people. I promise. We're not like the drink the Kool-Aid. That's a cult. But there definitely has been, when I was first going, where they were like, they were, I don't want to say concerned, but they were just like, I want you to, like, you know, understand what you're not getting yourself into, but, like, understand what you're believing and all that. And there was a little bit of, like, a warming up period to it. But now it's, like,